Well, we're turning in our Bibles this evening, please, to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 5 and the verse 13. I would like to speak to you this evening for a very short time under the title Salty Saints. Salty Saints. Matthew chapter 5, please, and the verse 13. Just the one verse this evening. This is the word of the Lord, and it reads, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." And we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to each of our hearts this evening. Salty saints, ye are the salt of the earth. Why did the Lord Jesus use this particular figure of speech in calling the people who were before him the salt of the earth? Seems such a strange saying, doesn't it, to describe someone as salt. And suppose in order to understand what the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching here in the Sermon of the on the Mount, we need to consider the significance of salt in the time that the Lord walked the earth in those days. If it's important in our time, salt, it was much more important in the Savior's time. In that society, often pure salt was more valuable even than gold. As a matter of fact, pure salt was a rare delicacy and was often a medium of exchange. If you were exchanging goods, you might have even paid with salt in those days. And we actually get our word salary from the word. It literally means salt money, salary. When you get your salary at the end of the month, you'd be glad that it's pound coins and not salt. It wouldn't do you any good in these days. But salary is where we get, it comes from the salt, and even in the Savior's day. That's even where we get the expression is that that man is worth his salt. Someone is worth their salt. In the Old Testament, the prophets were, I suppose, if we put it into the context of what the Savior is saying here, the prophets would have been the salt in the land of Canaan. But now in the New Testament, these apostles would be the salt of the earth. You know, if you had take a handful of salt in your hand and you put it over your dinner, or maybe you can take it out and you throw it onto the road during the winter, those millions of grains of salt, even one handful of them, it will have a tremendous effect, indeed a widespread effect. When we consider the effect that the apostles had on our world, indeed, they turned it upside down, and we can see how true it was that they were the salt of the earth. What I want you to see in light of what the Lord Jesus says here is that scripturally salt is to be seen as a picture of spiritual health. Spiritual health, and that's what the Lord Jesus is speaking of in this verse. It's the epitome of spiritual health is the gospel of Christ, and then to go out and to share that gospel and to live gospel lives before others. And I would just like to point out a few qualities of salt this evening, just really by way of devotional thought and by way of applying this verse to our hearts. The first thing I want you to note is that salt seasons. Use salt for seasoning. As we all know here this evening, salt causes flavour to come alive. I must confess, growing up, I didn't really use salt simply because my father nearly snatched it off us when we went to put it in our dinners. We were told it'll harden your arteries. And then I went to Bible college and will not say too much about the cook, but I put a lot of salt in all my dinners while I was at Bible college. I hope he's not listening on sermon audio, but there you go. I ended up, and now I can't do without salt on my dinners, and that's nothing on Lucy's cooking at all. But salt, of course, it causes flavour to come alive in your dinner or wherever. And the Lord Jesus was using this as a metaphor. And why was he using that figure of speech, thinking of salt seasoning and bringing flavors alive? Well, salt was valuable for what it did in seasoning. In fact, Job said this. We read this question in Job chapter 6, verse 6. He says, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? And then he says, or is there any taste in the white of an egg? And I suppose what the Lord Jesus is getting at when he describes us as salt is we to give a flavor or a zest to life, if we can put it that way. We're not to be bland people. I've met a lot of bland Christians. But we're to be people who are joyful, who show that zeal for life, who have understood the gospel and what it does to your life and how it gives you a purpose in life and gives you true meaning in your life. That's what we're talking about. We're to be the salt of the earth, that when people look at you, that they actually see that you understand what this life is all about. You know, so often I share that little first question that young children sometimes learn in catechisms and other denominations. And it's that first question, what is man's chief end? And man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's a great answer. And so often when you look at the sea of people, we're not living that out. We're to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We sometimes focus and talk about the glorifying God, but enjoy him forever. Can I ask you the question tonight? Are you still enjoying God? You know, that's an important question to ask. I was at a pastor's retreat not so long ago. It's held in Ballymena. And one of the pastors, he was talking about how so often we can be so focused on studying God's word and getting to know God's word and preparing for Sundays and doing all this here. And he turned to the pastors in the room and he says, "Men, are you still enjoying the Lord?" I thought that was a very important question, but that doesn't just need to be applied to a pastor's life. It needs to be applied to all our lives. It's not just about the discipline of meeting with God each day and the discipline of coming out to the meetings and the discipline of routine. But the question you need to ask your soul tonight is, are you still enjoying God? Do you remember when you were first saved? The excitement, the zeal you had? I've seen too many young men and women who get saved in an early age, and at first they have this zeal, this passion, and then the older they get, the zeal goes and the service goes. And they don't want to serve God as they used to. They don't want to even talk about the Lord as they used to. I've known friends growing up, and when we were younger, they could do nothing but talk about the Lord. And they could do nothing. Each time we were together, we would have spoken about things that we were learning from God's word. And there was a real excitement. And see, today, when you bump into them, they don't want to talk about it. And you know how important it is that as the salt of the earth, that as it seasons, as it flavors, that we as Christians understand that the gospel has brought a flavor to this life. You know, in that hymn that sometimes we sing, Loved with Everlasting Love, it speaks about seeing Christ and the Lord in nature. Something lives in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen. And this world just comes alive when we've got Christ in our lives. Salt seasons. But I want you to see as well that salt, it preserves. It preserves. It's valuable because it preserves things. The Lord Jesus, he's standing as he's preaching here, and he's by the Sea of Galilee, and as he teaches this Sermon on the Mount. And when the Lord Jesus Christ talked about being the salt of the earth, he was addressing mostly his 12 disciples. There were others there listening to this sermon, but he's addressing his 12 disciples. And of course, some of them, as you know, would have been fishermen, and they would have known the value of salt as a preservative. They would have known how to preserve the fish to keep them edible for a number of days. And if there ever were a day that we need the preserving power of the gospel in our society, it's today. We live in a decaying society. I wonder, do you believe that humanity is rotting? I wonder, do you believe that? I hope you haven't swallowed the evolutionary philosophy that's channeled into our children in schools, that's fed to us through the television, that's on the radio, that's in the newspapers and in magazines. We're continually bombarded with the nonsense that humanity is getting better and better by the day. It's a lie from the devil. It's a lie from the world. Humanity is rotting and decaying, and that's why God had to destroy it at the very start in the flood. But I want you to note that after the flood, they were just as sinful as before the flood. Humanity does not and cannot change. What the Lord Jesus is saying in verse 13 of chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel is this: humanity without me is a dead body, and it's rotting and it's falling apart. You're my followers, and as the salt of the earth, you need to be rubbed into that flesh to halt the decomposition of this world. He's saying that the Christian must be rubbed into the world. See, that's why we're still here. I wonder, do you ever think about this? I've mentioned this a number of times in different ways from the pulpit. This is the reason why the Lord doesn't just take us as soon as we're converted. That's why we're here, for the Holy Spirit to work through us, channels only, blessed Master, to be channels that the Lord can use, to be that salt that rubs into society and preserves society and keeps it on the straight and narrow. I'm thankful for people like the Christian Institute. They're being that salt that preserves, because there's many, many different times that they have stood against our land and our government on things that are completely opposed to Scripture. And what they're being is they're being that salt of the earth, that preservative that's preserving some Christian standards in our country. And you know, that's not just the job of the Christian Institute. You know, sometimes I'll write letters and I'll torture whoever our local MP is, and I'll torture our councillors. If there's things that are going on that I'm not happy with, I'll send them a letter, I'll send them an email to let them know what I think of certain things that are being discussed, whether in Stormont or across the water in London. And I think that's important, and I think that's something we all should be doing, challenging our politicians to think about these things, to think that there's a Christian society, there's Christian people that they're representing in their constituencies. And that's so important, to be challenging what is going on. Now, I know we don't have a great voice, but we can at least use our voice to challenge these things that are contrary to the gospel and Scripture. We're called to be the salt of the earth, and that's being a preservative as well, to preserve things, to attempt to influence our society through Christ for good. Salt, it seasons things, it brings a flavour. The Christians should have a zest to life. They should be seen as people who understand the purpose of life. It preserves. We should be people who are rubbed into our society, making an impact, and that people would see our faith and see what we stand for. But salt, it also heals, thirdly. Not only does it flavour, not only does it preserve, but it heals. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 20 and 22, you read of Elisha putting some salt into deadly polluted waters, and those waters were healed, and out of barrenness and bitterness there was blessedness. And salt is an antiseptic, and it has healing properties to it. As a matter of fact, in Bible times, when little babies were born, they would give that baby a salt bath to hold down any infection. And how that speaks of the purifying effect of the gospel. I love it when you see someone, and when they've just got saved and they maybe have been living a dreadful life before, when you just see the real evidence of the purifying effect on a person's life. And that's what the gospel does as well. The salt, it seasons, it preserves, it heals, but salt also irritates. Now, this is an important part. It irritates. Have you ever gotten a cut in your hand and maybe got salt or something like that into it? And boy, it stings and it burns and it irritates. In Mark 9 and 49, it states, "For everyone shall be salted with fire." And it's saying there that fire and salt have something in common. Salt burns just like a fire. And you need to be aware that the truth of God's word, when rubbed into a diseased and putrefying old world, it's going to sting it. The world hates the gospel. We know that. Many people stand against the gospel, but we're to stand, and it's going to burn and it's going to sting and it's going to make people look in the mirror and see themselves for how they really are, and they're not going to like it. But how we're still to stand. Are you not glad? Are you not glad that the day and hour that you realize that, yes, the gospel stung and called you a sinner, but it told you the truth about your life? And are you not glad the day you realize that you needed Christ as your Savior? Well, the gospel had to burn and it had to irritate you and it had to sting first. You had to see your sin in order to know that you needed healing and you needed Christ. And that's what we have to be doing as the salt of the earth. We have to be irritants. We have to go out and share the gospel. And, you know, not everyone is going to like what they hear, but we're called to be faithful. Finally, salt, it penetrates. It penetrates. Salt has such powerful properties that you just put a wee pinch of salt in something and it will permeate an entire liter of water. In fact, salt is one of the few major compounds that will dissolve equally well in both hot and cold water. What we need to do is we need to get the salt to the source. We need to penetrate and activate and change our society by going out and actively sharing the gospel. We need to guard ourselves from becoming a salt warehouse or just a wee salt shaker that keeps all the salt in. There's many of us do that, don't we? We don't go out and we don't share the gospel as we ought, and we know everything and we're almost like a wee salt shaker and we're not putting it out anywhere. We're just keeping it in. I wonder, are you a glorified salt shaker? Never letting the gospel out. Never letting the salt out. The Bible-believing Christian is no longer respected. Why? Because we've become good for nothing. Yeah, that's what it says here in this verse. We've lost our savour. We've become good for nothing is what the Savior says. Going to be cast out and trodden under the foot of them. If we're not going to open up our mouths and tell people about Christ, if we're not going to open up our mouths and penetrate our society with the gospel, well, we're going to be good for nothing and our society might as well trod all over us. Matthew Henry said, salt is remedy for unsavory meat, but there is no remedy for unsavory salt. Now, please don't dilute the words of our Savior, because he says, if the salt, that salt is the believer, if the salt has lost its savour, there's nothing can be done. It is to be thrown out, it's to be trodden under the foot of men. Why does the Savior say that? Because if the salt is diluted, the purpose of the salt to fight, the purpose of it to is completely lost. Do you know what he's speaking of when he says in the second half of this verse, do you know what the Savior's speaking of? He's speaking of this uselessness. And he says, uselessness invites disaster. Perhaps in the last 50 years or more, they've done more for peace and they've done more for social matters and influenced society politically in every other way that you can imagine. But I do believe that we've entered a dark age. Spiritually, we're in a dark age. And the only way to get out of it, and the only way to do something about it and prevent it, is by placing the responsibility back to Christ and saying, Lord, I'm available for you to use me. I'm a channel for you to use, and I'm willing to be a mouthpiece for you. There's too many quiet Christians these days. There's too many unsalty Christians, dare I put it that way, where we've lost our savour. We're good for nothing. And we might as well be cast in the ground and trodden under the foot of man. Oh, that we would be a voice for the gospel in these days. Christ has said, you're the salt of the earth. You're to have a preserving influence. You're to have a savouring factor on our society that people will see that Christ means something to you. You're to be the one that rubs into the world, and it may irritate the world, but they'll see Christ and they'll see the preserving effect. He tells us that we need to find again our saltiness. That will only happen as we live a holy life and as we seek the Lord and his direction in our lives, both as individuals and as a church fellowship, and that we would reach a world that is dying, a world that is decaying, and a world that is depraved in many, many ways. So that we would be salty saints. It's a strange way to describe you this evening, isn't it? But oh, that we would be salty saints in this world, and that the Lord would be pleased to use each one of us individually in the places where we go to each and every day. We trust the Lord will bless those wee thoughts to our hearts this evening. Now let me just give a few